Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
I'm Mike Shackelford.
Our guest tonight is Brad Fardella, Gaming Manager of Analytics for United Coin Machine Company and Gambler's Bonus Group of Properties. We'll be talking to Brad shortly. We also intended to have Reno Ron with us tonight. Ron is a pseudonym of a professional video poker player who's going to talk about the best places to play in Greater Reno. Unfortunately, Ron had a family emergency situation arise and won't be here. We'll reschedule Ron in the near future. Hosting-wise, Michael Shackelford is substituting for Richard Munchkin tonight. Munch is perfectly okay and could have done the show, but Shack is far more knowledgeable about video poker, so we thought he'd be better at asking questions of our guest. Plus, Michael recently returned from a trip to Nicaragua and wants to share a bit about the gambling situation there and the prostitute situation in the casino. That's always an interesting subject for our readers. So, Michael Shackelford, welcome back to our show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Now, you recently traveled to Nicaragua. Why did you go there and what did you find out?
I actually didn't plan to go there. I went to, my plan was to go to Costa Rica for 9 days to enjoy some vacation time and to study the casino scene down there more carefully, to hit some casinos that I missed the last time. However, while I was down there, with 3 days left to go in my trip, a friend of mine there said, how would you like to go to Nicaragua? I have some business to conduct down there, and I'd be happy to show you around. So, you know, how could I say no? I didn't have anything in particular to do those last 3 days. So normally I'm not a very spontaneous person, but this was an opportunity that I couldn't say no to.
Spontaneous Mike, that's what we call you. So the casinos there, are they nicer than the ones in Costa Rica?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny how two small Latin American countries right next to each other can be so different. And it's not just the casinos that are different. The whole countries are significantly different. Costa Rica is just a noisy, touristy country, where Nicaragua is quiet. It seems less populated. It's obviously not as rich as Costa Rica is, but the ironic thing is the casinos are much nicer. As you may remember from when I talked about Costa Rica, the casinos there are largely for the purpose of meeting prostitutes. Many of them, the actual gambling seems like a second thought. The games there are often very old, and the service in the casinos in Costa Rica is terrible, whereas Nicaragua, by comparison, is extremely professional in the gaming business. The casinos there are nicer than many of the casinos here. They're fairly modern. They have new games. You know, all the felts are new. They have nice quality chips. The dealers are much more professional. People are nicer. And people actually dress up a little bit to go. People dress up nicer in the casinos in Nicaragua than they do here in Las Vegas.
That's not a real high standard.
That's true. Nevertheless, the men wear, you know, like nice pants and a collared shirt. And by the way, I was not expecting this, not planning to go there, and I only brought very casual clothes like I usually wear here to Costa Rica. But fortunately, my hotel was right across the street from a pretty nice shopping center, so I picked up a little clothes there to be prepared for the casinos.
All right, good. So do they have video poker in Nicaragua?
Yes, they do. Quite a bit, actually. Normally, when I travel overseas, I don't find a whole lot of video poker. But I would say that, like most places, the casinos in Nicaragua are roughly split 50-50 in terms of square footage between table games and slots, maybe a little more towards the slot side. And of the slots, I would say about 20% were video poker. And the video poker there is, from what I saw, entirely progressive. 100% of the machines had a progressive jackpot of some type. And the denomination is almost always 10 cents. And yes, the
10 U.S. cents.
Yeah, 10 U.S. cents. Uh-huh. The table games also are played in U.S. dollars. On some of the machines, the max bet is five dimes, and on some of them, it is 20 dimes, and I don't claim to have seen every single machine in the country, but that is what I observed based on three or four casinos.
All right, good. So table game-wise, do they have blackjack? Do they have baccarat and those kind of things?
Yes, it's funny how the different Latin American countries are all different from one another. In Costa Rica, the big game among locals is paigao poker. In Argentina, it was roulette. But in Nicaragua, it is Caribbean stud, which is quite interesting. Here in Las Vegas, Caribbean stud is a dying game. You hardly see it anywhere anymore, but there it is. It is very popular. I would say that 40-50% of the table games are Caribbean stud, mainly played by the locals. You don't see too many tourists in the casinos in Nicaragua, but they also had some blackjack, and it was legitimate blackjack. They don't take a hole card there, so be careful with your doubling and your splitting. But otherwise, the rules are pretty competitive, standing on a soft 17. One casino allowed early surrender. However, the rules were otherwise not that favorable. You also see some roulette and a little bit of three-card poker.
Early surrender when the dealer doesn't take a hole card, would that be different than when he does take a hole card?
Oh, absolutely. At every place you can take early surrender against a 10. So what the dealer does is he only takes one card face up. Sorry. And I hit the table. And gives you the opportunity to surrender, which you're allowed to surrender before the dealer peeks for a blackjack, which is much more powerful than the way they do it here. Now, lots of times when early surrender is allowed, they don't allow it against an ace, which is the most powerful time to do it because the dealer has, a 31% chance of having a blackjack, and here's a good way to escape that danger. So anyway, one casino there does allow it against the ace, but their other rules are that they hit a soft 17, and it basically comes down to close to a break-even game, all things considered.
Now, are there any side bets on the table games that they have there?
You know, it's funny you ask. I spent most of my time in a casino there called The Palms, which has nothing to do with the one here. And in blackjack, they have no fewer than four different side bets. And the same in Caribbean stud, four different side bets in Caribbean stud. And I talked to the casino manager, and he said the players just love the side bets here. And you know, that's where we make our money. So we always try hard to have side bets on the games that the players like.
Are any of them close to a reasonable bet?
No. I just wrote two different pages on my site analyzing the blackjack and Caribbean stud side bets. And no, they, for the basic strategy player, the house edges are pretty high, usually anywhere from 7 to 20%. However, card counters might think that some of the blackjack ones are extremely countable. For example, on any dealer card, not just the whole card, but on any single card, the player can bet on any rank that it will be, including a 10. The 10 bet pays 2-1, so it's like being allowed the opportunity for insurance on every single dealer card. And
a 10 count isn't very hard.
Right, you're absolutely right. And the penetration is 75-80%. Nevertheless, I'm told that they're aware that the game is very countable, and they are on guard for gringos coming there and betting heavily on the side bets. So I'm not saying to all the counters in the audience, quickly go out to and buy a ticket to Nicaragua, because I think that you'll stand out and not last very long.
Now in Costa Rica, especially San Jose, it was a dangerous place to walk around, and you could get guards to walk you anywhere. Now, is that same kind of physical danger situation in Nicaragua?
Having only been in the country for 3 days, I can't claim to be an expert, but I personally felt it was just a safer, friendlier country than Costa Rica. And there's crime everywhere, but based on what people told me, as long as you avoided the bad parts of Managua, it was very safe to walk around, especially compared to Costa Rica. So in general, I really have very high things to say about Nicaragua, and I think the country is very underrated. I think a lot of people still think that it's in a state of civil war, which it's not, and it's a very nice country. I think it's underrated, and I think Costa Rica is overrated.
So it's interesting. Too bad you found it so hard to meet the prostitutes there. But I suspect you'll get over that.
All right. Well, maybe we'll talk more about that later if we have time.
Oh, well, with that, we're going to cut out the Brad Fidella interview totally and talk about the girls. No, we're not going to do that. All right, so let's talk about Brad. He's the gaming manager of analytics for United Coin Gaming, a company with games in the Nevada local market. Brad is a former casino manager, casino general manager, and a columnist for Gaming Today. In addition, Brad has invented a new game, which we'll be talking about. Brad Fidella, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks, Bob. Glad to be here.
First of all, what kind of places will you find the Gambler's Bonus Slot Club in?
By and large, our target market is the limited license market here in Nevada. So you will typically find the Gambler's Bonus logo outside of locations that are limited to bars and taverns with 15 machine licenses typically, or convenience stores with 7 machine licenses like your local 7-Elevens or Circle K's. We do have a couple of larger casinos that we're in as well. But by and large, we stick to the limited license market. We have approximately 400 locations in the Southern Nevada market.
All right. So how does the Gambler's Bonus Slot Club differ from other slot clubs players may be familiar with in the big casinos?
Well, with Gambler's Bonus, since we've got a number of smaller locations that are our partner locations spread throughout, what's different about it is kind of the portability of the points and the way the system works. When you are a Gambler's Bonus member, you can play at any one of the Gambler's Bonus locations and earn global points that are good at any one of the 400 locations that we operate.
So is there a slot card, much like in the Mirage or Harrah's?
Similar, but not quite. Gambler's Bonus has a unique way of doing our club where it is a completely cardless and key fobless system. There's nothing that you actually have to carry around with you except in your memory. You need to remember a 6-to-9-digit Gambler's Bonus enrollment number, and you must remember a PIN number, a 4-digit PIN number. So as long as you have these two numbers memorized, and typically it's a phone number or something like that, and then a whatever 4-digit PIN number the person would like, the enrollment numbers are all unique. PIN numbers can be anything they want, and then they simply use a keypad to log into the device.
Interesting.
Now, there's a four-of-a-kind bingo. How does that work?
Yeah, the four-of-a-kind bingo product is again unique in that it's portable throughout all of our locations. And with the four-of-a-kind bingo, it's kind of neat. You get two bingo cards that basically list all 13 cards that are available in a deck of cards. And each time you hit a four-of-a-kind, one of those cards is marked off. So if you have a primary card and a secondary card, and they're shown on the display screen on the gaming machine. So when you hit, for example, say hit four fives, when I hit four fives the first time, it will X off the five spot on my primary bingo card. If I then hit four sixes, it will mark off the six spot of my primary bingo card, so on and so forth. If I were to hit four fives again, and I had already had those fives marked on my primary card, it would then mark the four fives off on my secondary card. And what happens is once you get the primary card filled up, you win a cash award. That cash award can start as high as $60,000, and it's a digressive. So rather than being a progressive where the more you play, the higher it builds until it gets hit, this starts off high, and the longer it takes you to fill out your card with each hand you play or each several hundred hands you play, it decreases in value until ultimately you fill all 13 of your cards.
So when you refer to hitting a four of a kind, are you referring to playing video poker itself, or is there like a bonus game where you're earning these four of a kinds?
No, it's actually the base video poker game. It doesn't require an extra bet, an extra coin, or anything like that. It's simply part of the base game of playing. It's an additional benefit you get for being a Gambler's Bonus member, but doesn't cost anything extra, and it's not a side game or anything, require a side bet or anything of that nature.
And does the player have a physical card to mark off these four of a kinds, or is it electronic?
It's all done electronically and marked off for the player, shown on the display screen.
Now, so, go ahead.
Now, I've played heavily at Gambler's Bonus establishments in the past, and even the fairly recent past, and at the time I estimated for me that the bingo game added about 0.1% to the player's equity, at least for the stakes that I played. Does that estimate seem ballpark correct to you? Do you have a better estimate you can give us?
I don't think I can give you a better estimate than that. I think that sounds ballpark about correct, but it's a pretty big ballpark. We see pretty wide range of hits on that bingo card.
You've had a series of advertisements on local radios that John Smith hit a $17,000 it for merely hitting four fives on a 25-cent machine or something, and it's a pretty effective ad.
Yeah, we do, and we have, and that was one of the things when I first came to Gambler's Bonus. I had heard of these large hits happening, and I'm a gambler myself, and had been playing in Gambler's Bonus locations, and I had never myself cashed out more than about $20 or $30 on any of my cards that I had got, my four of a kind bingo cards, and I was simply stunned to hear how often people actually were winning bingo cards in the thousands and even tens and twenties of thousands of dollars. Which is when we decided to start, if we're paying out these big jackpots, we may as well get some, at least some notoriety for it, let the gaming public know that there actually is real value in that four-of-a-kind bingo card.
So you've talked about some of the jackpot pots the players have won, but are you at liberty to tell us what the average win is for covering all 13 different four-of-a-kinds?
Sure. I don't see why not. Actually, we're kind of proud of it because that average award approaches almost $100 as far as an average bingo card award goes, which isn't really a very bad average when you're talking about how many players we actually have out there that are also low denomination players, nickel players, quarter players, or players that are hitting their card and taking so long to do so that it's hitting at $1 or $2, bringing down that average.
Does that $100 average, what denomination does that refer to?
It refers to all of that. It's basically a universal. That is, when we run a monthly bingo card report and look at how much we've paid out and how many bingo cards hit, and we average that out, it comes out to about $100. But that's everything from your $5 denom player to your 5-cent player.
Well, being the analytical person I am, can you tell me if I'm, say, a dollar player, for example, what is going to be the average amount that I win for covering the card?
Well, it would most likely be higher.
Be higher.
Yeah, definitely, because with a dollar player, your card is going to start at $60,000 and start digressing from there. However, for a quarter player, it's only going to start at about $30,000 and start digressing from there. A nickel player will start at $5,000 and start digressing from there.
So are you suggesting that the quicker I cover the card, the more I win?
Oh, that's exactly what happens. The quicker you cover the card, the more you win, certainly.
I see.
Now, there was a quarter progression, a 10-coin quarter, that was actually, I estimated, a $100 an hour promotion. And so I would, when I start my bingo card, would start playing dollars. So it would start at $60,000. And then I would, as soon as it got started, then I would shift to quarters. And I figured I was going to outsmart the system. The system was pretty on to me quickly. It digressed rather quickly.
Yes, it does.
And my biggest one, I had 15,000 with only four tens to go. At the time, I was playing $50 a hand, which was a $5 10-coin machine. And I immediately switched to 25 cents and started playing extremely aggressively for four tens. Because when you're only playing dollar and a quarter and there's this $15,000 jackpot, and you can hold single tens or you can throw away all kinds of things. Two pair just never get held if two of them are tens. It got down to about $200 before it hit, and I was rather disappointed. I was rather unlucky on that, I thought.
Yeah, it does digress rather quickly. It's funny. I mean, you can even play one quarter, and still, if you were to get the four tens while playing one quarter, it would give you your bingo card hit. It doesn't require a five coin or more bet for the bingo card.
I wasted so much money going for that. But it'll digress faster if you only play in one quarter.
Yes, it certainly will. It'll digress much faster.
Clientele-wise, what is the difference between the type of players that play in your establishment as opposed to the larger casinos?
Well, by and large, are the establishments that we our partner locations aren't exactly out there looking for the tourists. They're not looking for the tourist market. They're not so we tend to tailor our game offerings for the local Las Vegas and local Nevada players. And by and large, those local Nevada players are looking for video poker games and a lot of variety when it comes to those video poker games. They're savvy enough to know how to play the different types of video poker, so they want a lot of variety. They're also big Keno players. They like to see the variety of Keno, four-card Keno, things of that nature. And slot offerings where we can, and we have a product that we can offer in that environment, we will, but not nearly as much as you would see on the Strip. While they're given probably, 60, 70% of their floor space to slots, we're giving probably 90% of our bar and tavern space to video poker and Keno.
Now, generally speaking, compared to the local casinos, these establishments have tight pay schedules. But you're sitting at a bar, get quick bar service, better alcohol, maybe, and the bartender knows your name. Now, but the gambler's bonus games can get pretty good. What would be the upper limit to the pay schedules that can be set and still be within the gambler's bonus system?
There are a wide amount of settings that are available. I mean, you've got to remember we're partnering with our locations, individual owners in many circumstances that have to compete with their neighbors and their customers and for customers. So if they've got a location right down the street offering aggressive 97, 98, 99% pay schedules, we will look at that and take that into consideration when setting their pay schedules. United Coin and Gambler's Bonus doesn't go out there and say, these are the pay tables we are going to use in your location. We work with that location owner to give them the pay schedules they want to use, because the bulk of the sharing and the profits and everything goes to that location owner. So it's not real easy to find a 98%, 99% pay schedule in a gambler's bonus location.
But I'm not sure they're out there. I frequent places where you can find 99% games. Now they also have the slot club pays about 0.1%, and then the four of a kind bingo is 0.1. But they also usually offer some kind of promotions in these casinos, certain four-of-a-kind bonuses or things like that. What kind of variety do you find there?
A wide variety there as well. Same thing, very much up to the location owner, what kind of promotions they feel works best for them to bring those local gamblers back in. Again, we're looking at bringing the same people that live around these locations back time and time again. Sometimes that takes mailers, sometimes that takes our technology, which we can read hands. Basically, if you're logged into the gambler's bonus system and you hit anything between a three of a kind and a royal flush, we can read that electronically and trigger a point award right to that player's account. We've also got a new technology out called the Interactive Gambler's Bonus Advantage. It's in better than 50 locations right now. We're putting more in every day where we can trigger events like a wheel spin or even pig races, balloon burst games, wiener dog races, things of that nature that let the players kind of pick which pig they want and run a race on an LCD screen and end up getting bonus points for hitting certain hands on video poker. We actually also invented a way to trigger those games on Keno and slots and, as well, based on how much a player wins in a certain gaming event. So say if you win more than $200 on Keno, you get to spin a wheel for additional points. So when you're on a winning streak in a gambler's bonus location that's aggressive with these promotions, you can really gain a lot of point value. And the gambler's bonus points also a little bit unique in the fact that our points are redeemable for cash, meaning that we don't force you to play them out. They're not non-cashable credits going to the credit meter, which you must then cycle through the game before cashing out. Our credits are actually cashable credits. When you download your credits from your gambler's bonus account, your points, and transfer them to credits onto the game, you can immediately hit the cash out button if you'd like to and cash those credits out for cash.
Subject to a daily limit.
Subject to a daily limit based on your club level, based on how much you play, yes.
What is the limit on the highest level?
On the highest level, it's $150 per day.
Okay.
Which is, it's a midnight to midnight day. So should you get there at 11:55, you can cash out $150 and then wait till 6 minutes later and cash out another $150. So should you plan it right? Now, there were casinos, there are... Village Pub used to give bonuses, so players would get thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of these bonuses, and they can cash them out at fairly limited rates. But people don't have as many of those anymore because the games are tighter there now. But it can take a while to get down your bonuses, and you earn so many more while you're doing it. But it's more or less a nice problem to have.
Okay. So you invented a game called Fever Aces. Can you tell us about it?
Well, Fever Aces actually, I can't actually say that I invented. I invented the pay table for the Nevada market for Fever Aces. Fever Aces is actually a game that was out in, it's actually out in Montana, I believe it is, and gets good play. But out in Montana, the Fever Aces game started paying at aces or better. And for a four of a kind, only paid 25 to one, on a four of a kind other than four aces. And both of those things, I felt weren't going to go over very well in Nevada. The game wouldn't be played at all out here if we rolled it out that way. So we changed the pay schedule completely when it came out here. We now start paying at jacks or better. And the minimum four of a kind payout you're going to get is 50 to one, which is acceptable for, most of the local Nevada gamblers.
It would be unusual. 54-1 would be more likely than 52-1.
54-1 is technically correct, yes. I forgot who I was speaking with here. You guys are going to pick up on that. but yeah, so the game kind of has a similar to double bonus poker pay schedule, with the exception of no bonus on two, threes, or fours. Four aces pays, what is it? It's 800
double bonus
so it's 800 on a 5 coin bet for Fever Aces as well. And then when you're playing the game, if you get a final hand that has either 3 or 4 aces in that final hand, you'll be sent into what's called the Fever Round. And in the Fever Round, what we'll do is we take the hand that has 3 or 4 aces in it, we'll wipe it off the screen. We replace those cards with 5 cards turned face down. Those 5 cards each have a multiplier value underneath it, and they're dealt from a 10-card multiplier deck. And in that 10-card deck, there are 5 3-times multipliers, there's 2 2-times, there's 2 4-times, and there's 1 5-times multiplier. So you've got the chance of getting anywhere between 2 times and 5 times. Those 5 cards are dealt on the game. You pick from one of those 5 cards, and that multiplier will then apply to each and every one of the next 8 hands you play. kind of similar to Shockwave Poker, where when you hit a four of a kind, you get into Shockwave mode and you get 10 chances to hit another four of a kind. The difference with Fever Aces is, of course, getting three or four aces happens much more frequently than a four of a kind. Hit three or four aces to get into that Fever round happens on average once out of every 91 hands or so. And then the other difference is you don't have to hit another four of a kind, a difficult hand, in order to see a value in that Shockwave round like you do with Shockwave. With the Fever round, even hitting things like straights, flushes, full houses can add up pretty quick, especially if you get a four or five times multiplier applied to it.
What happens if you get three or four aces when you're already in the bonus round?
It will actually trigger another Fever round to follow the one that you're in. The only rules and the stipulations with that are that you can only trigger one additional Fever round per Fever round, and there is a maximum number of Fever rounds that can be played in a row of eight.
That's very unlikely that anybody would exceed that.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, if a player is trying to calculate the strategy for this, can you let us know? Now, instead of assuming aces pay 800, would assuming it pays 900 or 1,000 or 1,100 or 1,200, or can you give us the number that would be approximately appropriate for figuring out the strategy to take this into consideration?
Yeah, I
or
would.
Will you?
Even if I could, I wouldn't, and I don't know that I could. To tell you the truth, I've spent some time playing the game, and there's several occasions that come up where I find myself wondering, I wonder what the true correct mathematical correct play is in this situation. You know, I have the full house pays, you know, 7 for 1, and I've got a pair of aces and a small pair. I'm pretty sure I throw those small pair away and go for the aces, but I bet big money on that. Yeah, but I mean there's other ones that come up that kind of make you just kind of wonder, I just get one ace and one other high card, depending on suits, do I hold them both or I just hold that one ace and go for it?
All right, try it from a different angle. Are you willing to tell the players how much the game returns for any particular pay schedule? And then if we knew, for example, that this pay schedule was 99.04, and then we could figure out the base game of 97.8, then we could extrapolate and figure out how much to put the aces on.
Well, I could tell you this. I can tell you that the game has only three pays. Well, it's actually got six pay schedules. It's got a 5-coin version and a 10-coin version,
okay,
of each. But there's basically three different pay schedules for the game. The only difference between those pay schedules is the full house payout, and those full house payouts are 6, 7, and 8 for one. The three of a kind on the game is where we take back this bonus round, this Fever round that we go in. So a three of a kind only pays 2 for 1 rather than 3 for 1. So that's obviously going to have some effect on the strategy used. But it is a fairly liberal game for the player. The tightest 5-coin setting on the game is over 96.3%, if I recall.
Listeners on this show aren't impressed with that number.
Number, but the loosest pay table is over 99% on the 10-coin version of the 9-for-1, or on the 8-for-1 full house, rather.
Okay, so players could use that for a judgment. Are those 8-for-1s out there?
Currently, there's only 30 Power Vision machines out there that are offering the Fever Aces game. That Power Vision machine is a proprietary machine that United Coin is manufacturing and producing ourselves. It's out there right now on trial with the Nevada Gaming Control Board. We have 30 of them out in 15 of our locations. Once they get approved, we'll be rolling many more of them out. But for right now, for those 30 machines, we haven't set that pay table in any one of the 15 locations that those 30 machines are in just yet.
All right. So when you do, you'll get back to me and we can announce it on the air?
You'll be the first to know.
Well, good. Actually, several of our listeners or hosts perhaps would like to go do this if it had a decent return and we could work it out.
So speaking of slot machine returns, there's a thread on my site right now about what is the difference between the optimal strategy return in video poker and what did machine actually experiences? In other words, how much do players lose due to errors?
Yeah, I saw that thread, and basically, it's everybody's, for the operators of the casinos, it's actually pretty simple. As a matter of fact, it's kind of funny that IGT, when they put together their pay schedules, they list the optimum return right there on the pay schedule, and this is the percentage that this game will return if you put it on your casino floor, and it is played at perfect strategy by everybody there. Then they also put an expected field return number on there. But that expected field return number that they put on those information sheets given to the casino owners and operators wasn't very scientifically done. It basically just took the optimum percentage and said you can expect to receive from 2 to 4% better than that. Better than that hold percentage listed. So, for instance, if there's a 98% game, the expected field return on that game would be anywhere between 94 and 96%. In our market, in my market, in the local Las Vegas market, I can tell you we expect now probably much closer to 2%, if not 1.5%. Better than what the manufacturer suggests for optimum return. There's definitely some error out there, and we expect to get better than what they put on their on their sheet, certainly.
1.5%. That's good to know.
It depends on what the pay schedule is. If a casino puts out 9-6 jacks, then that is a game that is written about by characters like me and taught in classes, and it's an easy game. And since it's the highest game in many casinos, players practice that one more. And so it would be likely that the true error rate is less than 0.5% on a 9-6 jacks, meaning that it's about a 99% game for players. But on a if you take a game like 8-5 jacks, which is 97.3 when played optimally, players with a clue never play that game. And so the players who do play it are going to be making 2.5% and 3% and 4% errors simply because the if they knew their butt from a burrito, they wouldn't be playing that game to start with. That's a technical term.
I'd say that's fair. We see the variance from optimum certainly vary depending on which location we're talking about, how many savvy players they have in there, and which games they're playing. It is getting easier, and as technology advances, it's pretty easy for anybody to get on their phone now and get an app or go on to Michael's site here and find out what the optimum strategy is for a particular game right then and there if they do have a question on what cards to hold. So I think we've seen in recent years that the variance has tightened up overall, at least in the locals market it has. As the local Nevada economy kind of went down, people watching their money a little bit closer, they still like to go out, they still like to play, but they want to make sure they're not just throwing their money away by making bad plays. So I think they did take the time to get a little bit more well-informed, and people like you gentlemen and the radio show and things like that, getting the word out there, and has tightened up that variance a little bit.
You talked about Power Vision machines. I'm assuming this is a patented name created by United Coin or some affiliates of yours. How are these machines different from, say, IGT machines or Bally machines?
Well, and that's just it. What we did, the major difference with the Power Vision machine is that it is the first machine that's actually been brought to the market, developed, and produced by a local Nevada gaming operator. United Coin, our market is the local market. So there are things you can do with pay tables and pay schedules and with your game in order to cater specifically to the local market. What we did is we took some of the best things that IGT has ever done and has had to offer, and we took some of the best things that Bally had done in the past, and we kind of combined them together. I'll use the most famous of them all, Double Double, but we put basically six of the most popular IGT game titles, video poker game titles, into the Power Vision. So we've got the Jacks Are Better and the Deuces and Deuces Bonus. We've got Joker Poker. We've got Double Bonus, and we've got Bonus Poker Deluxe. So we took those games and we put the pay tables and the cards and everything into the Power Vision game exactly as has so successfully been done in the past by IGT and other manufacturers. And then we took a look at the pay table and said, well, what can we do a little bit, maybe just a little bit differently that the local Nevada players would like? And one of the things that had always gone over very well with local Nevada players was something Bally did with their games, in that a 5-coin variety Bally game paid 4,000 for one on a royal when betting 5 credits. However, when you
maybe 800 for
I'm
one.
I'm sorry, 800 for one. 800 for one, 4,000 for five on a 5-credit bet. However, when you bet 10 credits, you would get 1,000 for one, or a 10,000 credit payoff if you were to hit a royal flush if you were betting 10 credits. That was looked upon very favorably by the local Nevada market, and there's a lot of Bally loyal players out there, but they will always play 10 credits. And the reason for that is, the one thing Bally didn't do that was in the players' favor is that although they're paying 800 for one on a 5-credit bet, as soon as you go to 6 credits, your 6th credit is only going to add 250 credits to the 4,000 credit payout for the 5 credits. So they revert back to a 250 for one payout on 6, 7, 8, and 9 credits, and then they jump all the way up to 1,000 for one all the way across the board when you get to the 10th credit. IGT, on the other hand, as soon as you get to 5 credits, even if you set an IGT game for 10, 15, 20 credits, at each level above that 5th credit, you will stay at 800 for one. They're not going to drop you back down to 250 for one, and there are players out there that like to vary their bets. So what we did with the Power Vision game is we took the best of both worlds. We said, okay, we're going to keep you at 800 for one after you get above 5 coins. However, when you get to that 10th coin, if we're setting the game up and offering it a 10-coin bet, we are going to give you what in-house we refer to as the Bally Bump and give you that 1,000 for one payout so that you can actually get a 10,000 credit payout on a 10-coin Royal Flush.
So it sounds like there's a lot for someone like me to analyze with between the Fever Aces and the Gambler's 4-of-a-kind bingo. So where might one find your games, for example, at 7-Eleven or Chevron stations or...
Well, right now, those Power Vision games that I'm talking about are in just a handful of locations, 15 of them that we have. You can go onto the Gambler's Bonus website. I believe we have them listed there. It's not something we can, when they're going through regulatory trial and everything like this, like they are right now, it's not something we want to advertise or really put out there. We basically are looking to see how much play these games get in relation to the other games in the locations should somebody happen to go into one of those locations. And right now, they're actually performing fairly well. They're not the top games at any of the locations we have them in, but they're certainly not the bottom either. They're holding their own right around the middle of the pack. And as we all know, it takes the local Nevada gamblers a little bit of time to get used to something new. So we never expect them to come right out of the box and be the number one game that we have out there.
Another answer to Michael's question is all Gambler's Bonus locations, or most of them, have these fairly large green sign that says Gambler's Bonus on the outside. So once you find one and you learn what that green Gambler's Bonus sign looks for, then you can go by these pubs and tell at a glance which ones have that particular system in there. And the 4-of-a-kind bonus is analyzable now, although it's going to take you a lot of information because you don't know the rate of digression. And it varies depending on a lot of different things, and I don't know that you're going to be able to get that without inside information. But speaking for probably, certainly for myself and Michael as well, if you give us the returns on the Fever Aces and the best pay schedule, I will certainly be happy to write about it, and I strongly suspect Michael will too.
Yeah, I think I may be able to figure out Fever Aces by myself. But after the show, if I send you an email asking you specific questions about the 4-of-a-kind bingo, Are you at liberty to answer them?
So the ones that I can, yes. The Four of a Kind Bingo Digression actually was written many, many, many years ago by somebody who's no longer with the company. It's in our systems. It's there. I'm not sure that there's necessarily anybody left at the offices that knows completely and exactly how it works or could bring it in. I know it's very complex. I know it has, because it takes into account a number of different factors and everything. Analyzing that portion of it is going to be difficult at best. As far as Fever Aces goes, to tell you the honest truth, I'm as curious as anybody is what the perfect optimum strategy is on that game. I haven't analyzed.
We'll let you read our websites when we finish.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Thank you, Brad. This is very informative. Michael, what did we learn tonight?
Well, we learned a lot about some new promotions and with the Gambler's Bonus feature, and you know, I think as a mathematician, this really intrigues me, and I hope to get my hands dirty with this and figure it out.
All right, good.
And once the game is matured a little bit,
and I have played at these Gambler's Bonus locations, and so there are players who figure that if I play it at such a location, it's probably a good bet. So they might want to check some of them out. All right. Now, Michael, it's been a bit since you've been on our show. What's new and different on your various Wizard websites?
One of the main things that I've added since the last time I was on the show is, and I mentioned this earlier on today's show, is I added a page about all the blackjack side bets that I saw at the Palms Casino in Managua. And I added a different page about all the side bets I saw in Caribbean Stud over there. Actually, the blackjack ones I just mixed into my Blackjack Appendix 8, which is a list of now it's got to be at least 50 different blackjack side bets. And it's probably the most frequently updated page on my site because I'm always finding new ones. Also, I know you had Peter Liston on the show when Munch was co-hosting it.
Yes.
And I wrote a page right up his alley about mystery progressives. Is there are quite a few Williams games out there that have two mystery progressives. One is called the minor and one is called the major progressive. The minor must hit by $50 and the major must hit by $500. And I did a lot of analysis on this, and I published a page about it. But to make a long story short, I find that it's playable if the minor jackpot is about $48 or the major one is about $480. And it depending upon how big the smaller jackpot is and what you're assuming the base return of the game to be. But I have tables on my websites showing exactly for any set of circumstances what the break-even jackpots are. And finally, there is a game that was at the Sahara at least 10 years ago called Pick 121, and it died off, as most new games do, but recently it's turned up in Oklahoma, and I was the original mathematician on the game, and the new owner of the game asked me to put a page on it on my website about it. So since I already did the analysis, it was no big sacrifice. So I have a new page about the game, Pick 121.
Is there any reason for us to go to Oklahoma to play it?
Maybe. No, wait, I'm confusing myself with another game. No, I don't think so. I think the game has, as I recall, about a 3% house edge, so nothing to buy a ticket.
All right, before. Good. The South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anyone else. Every evening in May at 8:20, they're giving away a 2013 Camaro. You do not need to be present to win, but if you are, the South Point also pays your sales tax, vehicle registration, dealer's fees, plus $2,000 in gas card. Now, you can take an $18,000 cash option instead of the $25,000 car, and if you're there, you still get $2,000 in gas cards should you be present. Four other winners will receive $250 in gas cards, and it does not matter if they're there or not, but you do have 24 hours to redeem your prizes. Up to 1,000 entries may be earned each day,
$1 coin in per entry, and you must activate your entries at a kiosk each day between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Entries stay in the virtual drum all month long. This is a good low roller promotion for locals who live nearby. Playing $1,000 coin in per day in an even money game isn't a burden to most players, and you can have as many tickets in the barrel as anybody else. Players like me who would be willing to play $100,000 coin in or something daily to try to swamp the barrel and have better chances to get Camaros, it gives us no advantage. So I'm no better off at getting a Camaro than anybody else. At the Palms, the Friday, Saturday night drawings in May are called the $125 money bags drawings. 10 winners are called each of those two nights. Winners 1 through 5 receive $500 and a chance to choose a money bag after the Saturday night drawing. Better come back if you want to do that if you win on Friday. Winners 6 through 10 on each night get $250 apiece, and then they're done. You can win. The biggest prize in the money bag is $7,000. Tickets are earned by playing machines since 8.01 p.m. the previous Saturday. On Friday and Saturday nights between 8 p.m. and midnight, you can earn three times drawing entries. The Monday, Wednesday, Friday PEW gifts for the entire month will be free play. The redemption rate is 0.25% for video poker players and 2% for slot players. So this doubles. This is like double points, Monday, Wednesday, Friday for video poker players, up to $83,000 coin in. As always on the PEW gifts, you get to keep your points. At videopoker.com, the daily contest for today and the next 2 days will be Super Times Pay, Spin Poker, and then 50 Play with Super Times Pay. This gives you a chance to practice these games at home before you go into the casino. There will be a monthly contest with larger prizes beginning May 24th. They also have a forum where video poker players exchange ideas. I participate in that forum as well as certain other forums. Our guest next week will be Michael Gaughan. He's the owner of the South Point Casino. We'll be talking to Mr. Gaughan about the life and times of Las Vegas legend Benny Binion. Benny originally came to Las Vegas from Texas, one step ahead of the law. Seems like even in Texas, they frown on killing people down there. So Benny opened up the Horseshoe Casino in downtown Las Vegas, a casino unlike any other in town. Statue of Benny Binion used to be outside the Horseshoe. Now it sits near the Players Club at South Point. It's an interesting story how the statue got there. And we're going to hear about it next week. So, Michael, we got about 2 minutes left. You were telling us how much harder it is to find women of the night in Nicaragua compared to Costa Rica. So you got a minute 45 version of this information for us?
Yeah, the executive summary of that is, as I mentioned before, in Costa Rica, it's prostitution is practiced very openly. But in Nicaragua, it's much more underground. I believe that it is legal there. I've heard that the streets there used to be easy to find streetwalkers, but the police cleaned them up. I never noticed any out in public. And I'm told, in fact, I went to a gentleman's club there, and prostitution is pretty openly practiced in those, where if you get a private room, you can do whatever you want. And I also hear that they have discreet brothels there, right there in Managua, that you can go to. That you kind of have to know where they are. I'm sure if you ask any cab driver to go to one, he could probably take you there.
Well, this might be more information than many of our guests wanted to learn, but there's always inquiring minds want to know. So very good. I hope a lot of you go out and hit lots of royal flushes this week. And thank you, Brad Fidella, for being with us. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com. and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.